Well, here's what I know what you're getting in Mike. You know, when we heard some of his verbiage, I mean, he wants a physical, tough team, but he put more emphasis on the mental aspect. And he is going to bring in some smart, tough players. I was with Buffalo in training camp this year early on, and what he drives is he's going to drive physical practice. He's going to have a mentality that's going to come out and beat you down for 60 minutes, which is good. You know, I played against his defense in New York in 09 when I was with the Saints. They had a hungry bunch of guys. I mean, it was Bart Scott and the boys, and they were hitting everything that moves. Yeah. Bottom line is he's been in two places where he hasn't really had a quarterback. And so when your quarterback always puts your defense in a bad position, his numbers and stats really don't tell us how good of a defensive coach he is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was Heath Evans from NFL Network, former NFL fullback, talking about Mike Pettine. Had a lot of nice things to say about the head coach, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And want to tell you, Browns fans, to secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. Going to have a lot of national perspective about the Browns team. In about 10 minutes, you're going to hear from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk and NBC Football Night in America. 2 p.m., you'll hear from Alex Marvez from Fox Sports 1. But that was Heath Evans. And listening to him, Nathan, makes such a great point that at the places he's been, you know,
right.
The other part, it's not just the defense. You've got to have everything to succeed in this league. And he didn't have all those parts on those football teams to put it together. So it's a fair analysis by Heath Evans.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you look at the defense, and they measured up great in a lot of categories. His defense in Buffalo did not do as good of a job in terms of scoring. And one of the reasons was they had a tough time with other teams scoring against them, the defense is scoring against them. So put in tough positions. E.J. Manuel was hurt for a big part of the season. So that hurt that offense, et cetera. Yes, I would like to see him get that quarterback. We all would like to see the Browns get that quarterback in the draft this year or have Brian Hoyer emerge into that quarterback. But all in all, there was a lot to like, I think, about the defense that he put together, and I like that he is going to keep a lot of the continuity of that staff. I also liked when we go through and we talk about the big needs for the Browns, you and I have both hit on the fact that an inside linebacker, a coverage linebacker specifically, right, is high on the list. And we know what a phenomenal job he did with Kiko Alonso last year. And he's brought the staff members directly responsible for working with Kiko with him here to Cleveland.
Yes. And you know, to, if he could bring Kiko himself, even better. But that's not that isn't how it works. But, yeah, I agree with you that to have that knowledge, that insight on how to figure out a way to make the people you have better, but I think more importantly, it is a talent play that they've got to go in there and find those right people who play the position well enough, thoroughly enough, can handle pass coverage and take that Achilles heel out
away
of the Browns defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that you couldn't have had a larger one, and every opponent figured out how to just shred
exploit
that, how to
it.
Take that apart.
Sure.
Okay, we mentioned Tony Dungy, and we mentioned, of course, the former NFL coaching great, now doing a tremendous job with NBC Football Night in America. He had a chance to sit down with Jonathan Martin, and we know the story of Martin, and it's one that opened, I think, up some new windows to what the NFL life is all about, that the rookie hazing thing, or just hazing thing in general, which once was seen as, okay, a rite of passage, right?
Sure.
Rookies come into a team, they've got to go through a certain amount of crap that they got to take from veteran players. With Jonathan Martin, it clearly, for him, his reaction, and perhaps just flat out, regardless of who the person was, whether it was Jonathan Martin or someone else, having to been subjected to some of the things that he was, and Tony Dungy, you know, was made aware of that because he was, he listened to phone tapes, phone messages that were left by Richie Incognito, a lot of racial slurs in that, and things that just weren't very comforting for a player to deal with, and I guess he ultimately decided not to deal with it. So
sure,
this is the clip we have the interview between Tony Dungy and Jonathan Martin.
I'm a grown man. I've been in locker rooms. There's vulgar language used in locker rooms. You know, one instance doesn't bother me. It's the persistence of it. I wish I would have had more tools to solve my situation, you know, but I felt trapped, like I didn't have a way to make it right. Came down to the point where, you know, I felt it was best just to remove myself from the situation.
Yeah, and that's what you do, okay, if you're not comfortable with the situation. Now, that's an extreme, and
sure,
that opened up a lot of eyes because people said, wait a minute, you know, you got to figure out a way to manage it and deal with it. He decided he didn't want to manage it and deal with it.
He did not want to. He took himself out of the situation. The investigation is ongoing, and I think that I ultimately think, based on talking to a few people, that when this report does come out, there are going to be a lot of eye-opening things in it both directions. And I think it's going to end up being one of those kind of fascinating studies here about NFL culture and how it is, what's acceptable in the locker room code, things like that. I think it's going to be very interesting.
I think it is, too. We touched upon this earlier about Richard Sherman and, again, what his
sure
role would be in this Super Bowl, that this is going to be a Super Bowl that will be dominated by the whole Peyton Manning discussion. But really, where does Richard Sherman fit in the discussion? And where he has fit so far is a guy who has done his best to kind of, I don't know if I'm going to use the word reinvent himself, but maybe invent himself, because he's got he's taken the approach, right, that this is more of a blank canvas, and I'm going to help define who I'm all about. I'm not letting others do that. So Richard Sherman talked today about the idea that, quote, he is not the definition of a thug.
The definition of thug isn't what I am and isn't what the people that they are describing it as is. And I think in a lot of times, if we use a word out of its context or out of its definition, you know, definitive way, that we're judged in a certain way. So I want people who've used it wrong and used it falsely to be ridiculed in that same way. And I want people to understand that, let's get past that. Let's get past that kind of talking and that kind of understanding, and understand people for what they are. Let's not label people thugs and gangsters and whatever they are. Label them for what they are. If they're philanthropists, label them as philanthropists. If they're sportsmen, if they're football players, say I'm a football player. That's what I was at that moment. I was a football player. When I'm out there doing community service, I'm a philanthropist. So label me for what I am is what I would prefer.
Yeah, I kind of like that, and I like the challenge that he's laid down to those of us
sure
who either write about or talk about the NFL, Nathan, is that, again, put more thought into what you do. I like to pride myself in doing that, but it's nice to also get a reminder, and there are those who don't, and mm-hmm. I'm not really going to go out here and do any high horse judging. I'm just saying I get where he's coming from, because I think people loosely throw around terms, sometimes too loosely.
What helps you, one of the things that helps me to understand, obviously, what a smart guy he is, in addition to the many comments and things like that, is he's a guy who understands, listen, I did something that was literally a lightning rod type of a thing. I took an act and made one interview that all of a sudden kind of swept the nation and brought on this huge debate, and he wants to use that as a platform to help, in his mind, educate people about things that they are not as currently educated about. And that's one of the things that I really respect about what he's doing. And I think that just, again, shows the level of sophistication. Now, you have to wonder at some point, though, given that there is all this time to talk about these things and dissect these things, if all of this extra is taking away a little bit from the focus on the game for mm-hmm. him personally, mm-hmm. because all of the questions he's being asked, pretty much everything he's talking about, is what happened last week and how he wants that to be used going forward.
And the one way that narrative gets changed is he goes out and does something dramatic. A, the Seahawks win the game.
Sure,
and,
of course.
And he's a big part of why they win the game. I mean, I think it's that simple. He knows it. We all know it. This is just what these days are for, discussion with the media, and the topics are the topics. He has decided in large measure to kind of maybe put the agenda out there the way he wants the agenda out there. Media has fed into that. He knows what he's dealing with. He's smart enough to,
yes,
in many ways, just maneuver that, and that's just what he's doing. All right, we've got a conversation coming up next with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, from NBC Football Night in America. Get some insights from him. I had a chance to sit down with Mike a short while ago. Insights from him about what the Browns are doing and what they're going to be doing. So we got that coming up for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Vic Carucci, coming to you from Midtown Manhattan, Radio Row for Super Bowl 48. Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dogg, is back in Northeast Ohio. And this is CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.